Thank you, Carrie and Samantha, for praising the Lord today. Appreciate that very much. In Romans, going through that book, a wonderful book, you'll notice if you look at all the subjects of sentences, the main actor in Romans 1 through 8 is the Lord and Jesus and the Spirit. And the closeness of God to the life of the Christian is really highlighted here in Romans chapter 8. If you took a look at the book of Romans, chapters 1 through 8, you got two verses that talk about God's Spirit in the first seven chapters. Okay, two verses. And then in chapter 8, 20 times, God's Spirit is the main actor in the passage. So what God does in our lives when we receive Christ, the Holy Spirit, and some of His works are really highlighted in Romans chapter 8. It's a wonderful chapter. And throughout the Bible, you'll see different phrases used for the Holy Spirit. When I was growing up, for example, the tradition I was in called the Lord the Holy Ghost. And if you have a King James, that's the same person as the Holy Spirit. Or Christ in you means the same one. One God coming into your life. The Spirit of Christ, same. Okay, and in this passage, the Spirit is used. Okay, we're talking about God's Holy Spirit who comes into your life when you receive Christ. And so, a real highlight for the activity of God. And some of the questions that are asked in this section, first of all, put one up here. Why can't I change? Sometimes that question is asked by people who don't believe in God. You know, I want to be more thoughtful, more selfish. Why can't I change? Or a Christian says, I want to trust God more. I want to be courageous, but I'm timid and fearful. Why can't I change? I want to pray more. Why can't I, you know, who's going to help me to pray more? And that question points us to God. Okay, God in us, God's Spirit, who changes us from the inside out. We cannot change ourselves. So that question's an important question if you find yourself asking yourself that question. Hopefully not, don't ask it so much for the other guy, you know, to your spouse. Why can't you change? Or to your Christian brothers and sisters, you know. If you just change, I'd be a lot happier of a person. This is not a good thing. So why can't I change? By the way, some of these questions are from the notes and other illustrations of four preacher disciple friends, Peterson, Begg, Warren, and Naramore. Not a law firm, but a bunch of old-time preachers. Another question that often comes to our heart is this. I'd like to be well in my soul. I'd like my soul to be well. And can that happen as a Christian? Can that happen as somebody who believes in Jesus? Sometimes on the street you hear the phrase, I'd just like to be happy. That's the point of my life, isn't it? If I'm happy, then I'm fulfilled. And I'm getting married because I want to be happy. I'm getting divorced because I want to be happy. I'm going to church because I want to be happy. I hope they make me happy. I'm not going to church because they definitely don't make me happy there. When we have that as a focus, we miss out to know that God is much bigger than our own feeling of wellness or happiness. And if we seek Him first and His kingdom, then pretty soon joy in life and joy from God comes to our soul, and we could identify with the person on the street and say, yeah, oh, I think God wants you to be happy and rejoice in Him. You know, something like that. You put it in your own words. But that is dealt with in Romans 8 also. The change, the feeling of being well. And then the third focus, God's number one purpose in our life starts to be shown real clearly here, is to make our character like the character of His Son. Okay, and there's different things you'd say, oh, you know, my purpose in life is to get this job that I think is the key to who I am, or this mate, or this vacation, or whatever the case may be. Whatever you're living for, what God is having you live for Okay, if you know Christ, is to make your character like the character of His Son. And He's very good at it, so be patient with yourself. Okay, He knows the raw material He's working with, and He's very sufficient to, as He began that good work, bring it all the way to heaven. So God will be working on us to make us like Christ all the way to heaven. So some good things that His Spirit produces. God's Spirit, mentioned multiple times, again, 20 times in Romans 8. One summary statement of Romans 8, if you read the whole thing, it would be the Spirit of God creates the people of God to live for the praise of God. Okay, just a little phrase there. The Spirit of God creates the people of God. We become born again, born from above, to live for ourselves. No, to live for the praise of God. So this is, you got a good goal in life. You know where you're going. You know who's sending you there. And we thank God for that. God's Spirit does change people. There's an urban legend of how He changed one man's life, a converted cannibal, ex-cannibal in the South Seas. He was reading a Bible by a big pot of boiling water. And an anthropologist came and said, "What are you reading there?" "I'm reading the Bible." The anthropologist was not impressed. "That does not fit in your culture. It's outdated. Nobody believes that anymore. It's a bunch of lies." And the ex-cannibal said, "Sir, if it wasn't for this book, you would be in that pot." Okay. So it's God's Spirit created a child of God. He was living now for the praise of God. I was not delivered from being a cannibal. God is delivering me, however, from devouring people with my words, which was quite a hobby, you know, as a lost person. Who can I put down as often as I can? Slips back into that pattern, but the character of His Son, more to build up others. Build up, don't beat up other people. So the cannibal learned that, and we can learn that too. We live according to God's Spirit, verse 5. Our minds are set on what the Spirit desires. That means all the thoughts that you and I think as a Christian, first thought comes from Christ is the center of this. He's the point of this thought. He's the point of this action. He gives me the ability to reach out to my neighbor. Or go to work and be responsible. Or listen to mom and dad. Okay, our minds set on God. He's the first and central thought of all our other thoughts. And so we're thankful for that. God's Spirit does that. Belonging to Christ is highlighted as a part of God's Spirit in our life. Verse 9. If you have the Spirit of Christ, you belong to Him. That's the saying opposite of verse 9. This was, reminded me of a great song written in 1942, right as U.S. got involved in the World War II, shortly after that. And the song was, "Now I Belong to Jesus." And it was sung mostly at Word of Life conferences, which dealt with a lot of young people, perhaps who would be drafted, and off they go, you know, into an uncertain future. And also made quite an impact on some people in prison ministry. And those who were even on death row, chaplains would go to them, and if they knew of that gospel song, they would say that to them, sing that to them, that perhaps they would turn to Christ. And some people face death by knowing, I deserve to die because of what I did, but Christ is with me. And the words, you know, which really summarize the belonging part of God's Spirit in you. Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. Something the Spirit tells you. Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From Him, no power of evil can sever. He gave His life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. That guy knows the great love of God. And God's power in his life. So the Lord wants us to know we belong to Him. It's Romans 8:9. And just to give a lot of credit to God's Spirit throughout the passage, and we'll make some points here. I like this description of the Holy Spirit given by a professor who was describing the Christian personality. Every once in a while you find a different topic that highlights the Lord. But he says this, the Holy Spirit who is in the Christian, God the Holy Spirit, not in everybody, but he is everywhere, okay? He's in the Christian and outside of us as well, gives us a worldview that's supernatural, transcends the limitations of the human viewpoint, brings a new and redemptive perspective. So we could see life, oh, this is life with God, as opposed to a life of despair and I wonder what's going on, total uncertainty. I appreciate the phrase limitations of the human viewpoint. Even as a believer, it's important for us to know, Charles Spurgeon said, 5 minutes after we get to heaven, we will know more than 90 years of following Jesus here on the earth, 80 years of study. In fact, we'll know more than all the Bible theologians back on earth, 5 minutes after we're in heaven. So the graciousness of God, you know, showing us to him. So keep in mind, please, the limitations of the human viewpoint. God gives us the redemptive perspective. Our sinful self-interest motivates us to defend, protect, and hide. Anytime in our relationship with God or other people, we're protecting ourselves, defending ourselves, we're hiding, we know we're not following God's Spirit. Okay, because he's out there to reveal God's goodness, lead us to actions of grace and truth and love. So Jesus, after lifts us above the limitations of mere humanity and gives us, going along with the saying here, resurrection newness. I like this sentence. In a way that's beyond my control or power, I know God. That's important to know. He reveals himself to us, his Spirit, his creation, his word. It's beyond my power or control. I know God. I have a relationship with God, and he knows me. And people can know me also. This miracle of love allows me to get beyond myself and truly know you. Just how the Holy Spirit just connects people and the mission of God, spreading his love and his gospel. It's quite a thing that he accomplishes. And so to review a little bit what has occurred to this point, just a couple applications. You have the man-made religion versus good news. This is what Romans 1 through 7 talked about. Man-made religion, don't get caught up into that. It's easy to do. Salvation by our works, working my way to heaven. Or salvation by Christ's work, to trust him, what he did. J. Vernon McGee really attacks in his commentary salvation by works. He calls a person who does that Mr. Goody Goody Gumdrops. I don't know. The person who is saying, I'm going to do as many good things as I can. The merits of Christ are not good enough. I have to add a few to them. And you help me too, okay? And then maybe we'll be received by the Lord. But instead, we have salvation given by Christ and his work. McGee went on to say, beware of people who talk about their dedication to God. He says, I was not saved by my dedication to God. I was saved by God's dedication to me. Through Christ, dedicated to saving me. And he won me over to gladly dedicate my life to him. So it's salvation given by Christ's work. In man-made religion, we're motivated by judgment. God will get me. I better straighten out. Or motivated by love. God gave his life for me. He loved me first, so I love him back. The power of our own efforts is man-made religion. Real devotion does not come by our willpower. Love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, but your life doesn't depend on your strength. Not the strength of your love. Or the power of the Holy Spirit gives you what we need. It results in condemnation. I feel apart from God, and I am. Or it results in the gift of eternal life. Here's more things right out of Romans 8. To have a mindset on the sinful nature or a mindset on the Spirit. Lord, be yourself and me today. That's a mindset on the Spirit. Okay. Lord, help me listen to a person as they're talking with me. Help me speak words of grace and truth to who I'm going to talk to. Lord, help me get out of bed. I'm tired. It's time to go to work. But, you and me will get me to work. Dear Lord, mindset on the Spirit. Mindset on the sinful nature leads to death, separation from God, and not much good going on. Or life and peace, mindset on the Spirit. Okay, gifts from God Himself. The mindset on the sinful nature, hostile to God. Or we can be controlled or led by the Spirit. You might say, hostile to God, that sounds rough. You know, who in the world is hostile to God? I just say, my own soul without Christ, I'm hostile to God. God bothers me. You know, and I don't want to turn around. He's always telling me to turn around and repent. I would say the culture is hostile to God in regards to the name of God. Name of God, both God and Jesus Christ, has been turned into an exclamation point. You know, in the mildest of communications that you hear, our friends and neighbors, and grocery store, and radio and TV, it's God this and God that, and not a prayerful honoring, but a hostility to God. If anybody used to look, the name of your loved one like that, you would be grieved. So as you're grieved, you could say, hey, God, He's really going to help you through that. Or whatever you want to say to somebody who's hostile to God, and keep that check in your own soul. Message Bible says it's a way of disrespecting God or ignoring Him. A mindset on the sinful nature can't submit to God. Just stuck on self. Or we could be led by the Spirit. He takes our hand, gives that good guidance. Mindset on the sinful nature, stuck on thinking of self and our own moral muscle. That's very easy to do. When you see a lot of bad sin around us, you know, you say, can you believe they did that? You ought to shock somebody sometimes, and when they say that, you can say, I can believe it. I could see you doing that. That would be a biblical response. But better pray before you say that. Or say, better yet, I can see me doing that. The change that God brings directs us back to His greatness. Well, I can't see Jesus doing that. I can't see Jesus doing that. We think of God and the new life that He gives us. And then the newness of life that the Spirit brings. The passage mentions you're a child of God, you belong to God. He gives you resurrection newness or power, you might say. So here's God's Spirit bringing new life to Christ. Here's some new themes from the Bible. New creation, that God lives in you. Oh, I was once a child of hell. Now I'm a child of God. Pretty big change. Biggest change I would ever experience. God's Word says if anybody's united to Christ, you're in Christ, He's a new creation. He's a new creature. He's a new person. Altogether. Past is gone. New has come. God has come to your soul. Like Jesus was born in Bethlehem. His Spirit was born in your body, your soul. It's a great mystery. And the change He brings is wonderful. And then He brings a new one to and a new ability. God's Word says your Spirit is alive, or His Holy Spirit's in you. I'll share this. The new one to is really apparent for most people, even if it comes over time. I'll just say my BC days, which weren't many, but they were enough. I know I didn't want to do certain things. I had one twos. I don't want to go to worship. Don't want to go to church. Don't want to pray. Don't want to read the Bible. don't want to serve, don't want to forgive, anything good, didn't want to do. That was my 1-2. When I realized that was against God and just the gospel was presented, somewhat immediately, but more over time, it took me 2 years to say, I want to go to church. But eventually it got out there. In case some of you are working on that, you know. The Lord will get there with you. I want to go to church. I want to pray. I want to read the Bible. I want to do what the Bible says. I want to serve. I want to forgive. A new 1-2. Philippians 2 simply says God will give you God. I can't quote it right now. God helps you will and work to his good purpose. Will. That is a new desire. So the new 1-2, very important for the new life with Christ his Spirit gives us. And then the new character, which was mentioned before, we become children of God. The character of Christ, it was fantastic that God would share that, those qualities with us, love, joy, peace. They're called what? The fruit of the Holy Spirit or the character of the Holy Spirit. One preacher said, I appreciate it. He said, how does God grow that in us? How can we have that change happen? He often puts us, does it by his word, does it by his leading and, you know, building up of believers. But also he does it in difficulties. If I'm going to get more loving, God's going to put me in a situation where I'm called to be loving. He's going to surround me with unloving people. I'll go and show God's love. See, God's Spirit remains loving. If you're going to discover what joy means, he'll surround you in a culture that's grumbling and crabby and angry and, you know, has a chip on its shoulder from A to Z, even though they're the most blessed nation on earth, still, now we don't like what's going on, you know. Well, bring joy to that. Bring joy to that. Jesus and others and whatever service you could bring to that. A new character that God brings. He really does that. He's good at that. And you've seen him do that for us. And then he brings new gifts to serve. Any gift you have is to help other people and honor the Lord himself. The gifts are very wonderful. I'd say there is a not quite complete gifts of the Spirit mentioned in the Bible in a couple places, about 20, 22 or so, gifts of God's Spirit that he gives you to serve him and bless others. And sometimes we don't know what they are. It's not so important we know what they are, but that we put in some into practice. We often learn about what our gifts are by being with other people. Compare it maybe to a football team. You show up to football practice and the coach says, what do you want to play? You want to play defensive tackle, big and strong, get the quarterback? Oh, I could do that. How about a quarterback? You want to be the quarterback? I could throw, but give me the quarterback. I'll be the quarterback. How about a wide receiver? Oh, yeah, I could catch the ball better than almost anybody here. Until we get on the field with the other people, we really don't know what position we're going to play. It'll be really apparent. Oh, you need to be on the bench for a while. Or you're the quarterback. You're the one who can throw the ball. Sometimes our gifts are like that. And sometimes our gifts get in the way of, instead of honoring God, maybe promoting self. There can happen. As a young Christian, I took a spiritual gifts inventory, which was an interesting thing. Gifts from the Bible are listed. And you answer these questions, and out of the 20, you're supposed to say, well, what are your spiritual gifts? I was very excited, so I filled out the test, and I wrote down, oh, I have 19 out of 20 spiritual gifts. It's amazing. This was not accurate, but this is what I thought. Healing? Yes, I could do that. Miracles? Why not? You know, I put down, I could do everything except interpret tongues. That's the only thing. Of course, as time went on, you realize, oh, maybe I have three or four just like all the other Christians. And I guess the point of these gifts, the new gifts God would give us, would be to honor God, let His Spirit spread the Word, build up His body. And a bunch of old preachers said this. They said, and make sure you love people more than you love your gift. Well, that's a good challenge. Love people more than you love your gift. So you love love people more than you love preaching or teaching. Love people more than you love miracles. Love people more than you love tongues for some people. Okay. Love people. Because the gifts are to love the people. To honor God, to let His Spirit lift up Christ, and so we're drawn to that new life in Him. And we're going to sing an old song that will know we are Christians by our love. And so God's Spirit, who's very, very faithful, gives us being a co-heir with Christ, and even on into the suffering, it comes into next week's sermon, called to suffer, just as God leads, You don't have to seek out suffering on your own. You'll suffer enough just going through life and following the Lord. But with the strength of God, and to see His honor and glory. So would you thank God for that? His Spirit, again, His Spirit gives you new life for the praise of God. And it's why? It's because the only truth that brings this life is that somebody was obedient and true enough to live perfectly, die in our place, rise from the dead, and said, "Here's my Spirit, so you could follow me." And so have faith in Him. And the Spirit will testify with your spirit that you're a child of God. He'll say, "You belong to me." You say, "Thank you, Lord, very much." Let's pray together. Father, give your amazing grace and the strength of your Spirit to each of your children here, a sense of belonging to you, a sense of being led by you, having our mind stayed on you, as it were, or a mind set on the things of you. You can help us with this. We want to walk in your ways. And we are at our best when Jesus, you yourself in us, leading us. So help each dear Christian here. Thank you. We're one in the Spirit, as it were. We're not even one in the teaching. We're one in the miracles, but we're one in the Spirit. Thank you for your grace to each one. And if anyone here, Lord, just feels apart from you and not quite sure they belong to you, might they say, "Jesus, you gave your life and you rose. Please, I trust you." Just move into that person's life, Lord, and help them follow you all the way to heaven. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.